whatever you got, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you will. And I want to talk to you about some things today that may surprise some. Others, it's just going to, you'll be able to say amen. But look at chapter 6, if you will. Begin with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, in other words, because of that, whenever you see that word wherefore in the Bible, look and see what it's there for. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes today about the requirements for receiving the blessings of God. Now, everybody gets blessed through salvation who receives Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everybody. Whoever gets saved, no matter how far they go in the Christian life, they're already blessed in salvation. Their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They go to heaven. And our righteousness is because of Him. Don't misunderstand that. Don't misunderstand that. Our righteousness, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is because of Him. We don't have any righteousness. All our righteousness is as filthy rags, according to Isaiah. So we can't get His blessings because of something about us. It's about Him. And I know there's a lot of social preaching, a lot of social gospel today that we live in, and they're encouraging people to stay in school and get you a college degree and educate yourself and better yourself and all these things. And I'm not against that. Not against that. You ought to. I mean, if for no other reason in this life. But that's not how you get the blessings of God. God will bless a little ignorant lady living in a shack by the railroad track, couldn't read or write her own name. That's not how you get the blessing. Those will help you in life, and you ought to get all the help you can. Life's hard. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you, don't be deceived. That's not how you get the blessings of God. Just because you quit drinking liquor, that's wonderful. You ought to do that. You'll live a lot longer. Amen? But that's not going to get you saved. You get saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you quit drinking liquor to be faithful to Him because you love Him. Amen? Amen. Listen to me. Now, I want you to look at verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, you can be a child of God by being born again, by believing, putting all your faith on Jesus Christ and Him alone, and you can be a child of God. But if you're going to get the blessings of the children of God, there's something else you got to do. And a lot of people just assume, just because I got saved, everything's going to be smooth sailing from here, and everything's going to be easy, and everything's going to be wonderful. And that TV preacher comes on, and he says, if you send me $100, you'll get $1,000 back. That's not true. That's not true. In this life, you'll have trial, you'll have tribulation. But you can also have the blessings of God that other people don't ever have. Now look at it with me real quick. Number one, I want you to notice just a couple of things here. Obedience is the key. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. I talk to Christians all the time and church members, and I'll say, well, how's the Lord treating you? And then I'll say, oh, he's treating me good. I say, how are you treating the Lord? So that's the difference. Your mom and dad is going to love you no matter what you do. But what are you doing for them? Amen. How are you treating them? Amen. And so obedience is the key that opens the door to the blessings of God. I've got three daughters. I love every one of them. I die for them. Hey, no matter what they do, I'll still love them. But obedience will get them a lot more than disobedience. And growing up, you've been the same way. You've been the same way. And so, did you know that 1 Peter 1:22 says that our souls are purified by obedience to the gospel? We're purified by obedience. Now, we used to sing that song in children's church and at camp, obedience, and we'd have to spell it, you know, in the song, obedience is the key. And so, even as children, we learn that if you obey your parents, you'll live a lot better life. Amen? Easier anyway. Amen? If you disobey them, then woe unto thee. Amen? Woe unto thee. And by the way, parents, the Bible says don't spare them for their much crying. Amen? Amen? You spare that rod, you're gonna spoil the child. Every child's got that seed of disobedience born in them, inherited by Adam. Adam gave it to us. Say amen. It's always easier to lie growing up than it is to tell the truth. Matter of fact, I know some people that would, they'll climb a tree to tell a lie. They don't even know what truth is. They'll go through they'll turn over stones to get to tell a lie. But the truth is, it's harder to tell the truth than it is to tell a lie. Because of our nature, our sin nature. You look at him, you say, you do that. No, not me, Mama. That's somebody else. If we ever found that somebody, we'd beat him to death. Amen?
Amen.
Or they. No, Dad, I didn't do that. They did that. If we ever found out who they was, we'd kill them. But you can't, so go ahead and whip your youngin'. Or discipline. Do something to them. Now, my daughter Becky, all you had to do was look at her and question her, and she'd, oh, I did it. You know. Suzanne's a different story. But the truth is, we're born with that seed of disobedience in us. And that's why it's hard to get somebody saved. Because, Brother Ron, the nature, our sin nature says, you don't need that. You can do this by yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what God says. You all right. You're doing this. You, hey, you man enough. You can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever noticed a lot of men think that a man can drink a gallon of liquor and that makes him a man? It makes him a stupid man.
Amen.
And boy, I hear people get up and they'll give their testimony and they'll say, I drank a gallon of liquor every day and I beat my wife and I abused my children and I got put in jail. Glory to God. And I think, what's the glory of God about that? What you ought to say is, I got saved by the grace of God. In spite of me, He saved me anyway. And you don't even need to know what I did. I was disobedient. Amen? Now, disobedience, number one, of the gospel will keep you out of heaven. Disobedience of the gospel will keep you out of heaven. Whosoever will, let him come and drink the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As many as believed, and it just goes on and on and on, by obedience to the gospel, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. Can I get amen out of that? Amen. Every one of us, everybody in this room that is saved in Luke 13:3-5. Jesus said it twice right there in the same one. He said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of direction. You turn one from what you think to what God says. You turn from what you want to what He wants. And you're born again. The very instant that you obey that, you're born again. You become a new creature. Amen? Now that's what obedience does for every one of us as children of God. But I want you to notice some things that have robbed you of some blessings. Look at verse 16. And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And he says up in verse 14, what communion had light with darkness? What communion had light with darkness? Now, I don't know about you, but he told David, he said to obey Saul, he told Saul, he said to obey is better than sacrifice. There's a lot of people, they'll do a lot of things. They'll go to church, they'll give money, and then they'll live like the devil. And they think because they gave a bunch of money that they're going to be all right. Well, they're in the dark. They don't even understand the whole matter. They're living in the dark, and they're trying to be in the light, and light pushes away darkness. When we as Christians who try to live right and try to obey the Lord, and you hadn't heard that in a long time. When was the last time you heard somebody say, no, I don't drink liquor anymore. I'm living right. I'm living right. Y'all old people remember when we heard that a lot? How many of y'all, hey, how many of you young people besides hearing us old people say it, ever heard a young person say, I'm living right? Don't hear it. Because so few do. Because so few try. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That word Lord means master. Amen. Now, He's not just my Savior. Amen. I received Him as my Savior March the 5th, 1978. A little while later, I figured out He can't just be my Savior. I need a Lord. I need somebody to tell me what to do. And I need somebody to point out things and somebody to help me get through this life, and I can't do it by myself, and I need a Lord. And I'm very discouraged with the presidential elections, all that. I'm just discouraged, and I'm not going to get into all that, but I want to tell you something. March 5th, 1978, I elected Jesus as my king. It doesn't matter who sits in the White House or the State House, He sits in my house. Amen? Now, as Lord, I want to obey Him. I don't just want a Savior. I want a Lord. I want somebody that'll help me get through this mess, and they'll lead me, and they'll guide me, and I can't be in darkness and receive light. It just doesn't happen. What happens when you go in a room and turn on the light? Darkness flees. Now, Christian, here comes the obedience part. We can't fellowship with unbelievers if we're walking in the light. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Everybody that's saved not walking in the light. But as a believer who's walking in the light, when we walk into a room of unbelievers or get around unbelievers, darkness doesn't like light. Light likes darkness because we overcome it. You turn that light on, it'll win every time. Amen. You turn the light on, it'll come on, unless you hadn't paid your power bill. Jesus paid mine. Now, listen, when I get around sinners, even if they don't know that I'm a preacher, much less a Christian, my light should make them uncomfortable. Amen. Darkness doesn't like light. Darkness will flee from light. There will never be another religious anything that stands in this pulpit and prays or teaches or preaches or speaks or says anything as long as this light is around this pulpit. Because I'll expose it. I'll expose it. And I'm supposed to, by the way. Preacher, you can't judge. Oh, you make judgments every day. Be quiet. And you're judged every day too. And you need to read your Bible and read the rest of that verse, because He said, if you judge, you'll be judged by the way you are judging. So if you say don't lie, don't lie. Say don't steal, don't steal. Don't judge other people wrongly for what you're doing wrong. Amen. But if you're doing it right, you got a right to say something.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so therefore, as a believer, when I'm obedient to the light, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, hearing my light. If I walk in the light as he's in the light, as long as I'm obedient to the word of God, when that light comes in around darkness, darkness has to flee. You can't have lost friends and be around them all the time. They won't like you anyway if you're living right. Because you're against everything they're for. You say, well, I got some lost friends that are good moral people. Yeah, but they're still not for Jesus. He said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathers not for me scatters abroad. There's only two camps in this world, those believers and those unbelievers. So if you're a Muslim, you're in the dark. Come on. If you don't know Christ, and you're any religion or not religion, that's darkness. This is the light of the Word of God. The light, that book right there, every time you read it, it turns on the light. So you get around people who are unbelievers, you start quoting that book, the light comes on, what's darkness going to do? Flee. Got to leave. Now, God does not bless disobedience. Can I get an amen? So therefore, if I'm not walking in the light, even though I'm saved, and I'm not walking in the light, and this world and worldly people are not convicted by my presence, then I am disobedient. And God only blesses obedience. Now, I'm saved. I know a lot of Christians are saved, going to heaven, but they're living in disobedience because they're not living in the Word of God. They don't read it. They don't memorize it. They don't quote it. And they certainly don't practice it since they don't read it and don't know it.
Amen.
Going to heaven. Pretty good people from the outside. But he says, light exposes darkness. Now he's talking to the church there at Corinth. This second letter he's written to them. He had to write one to straighten them out the first time. Now he's writing another one to straighten them out again. The Holy Ghost inspired the Apostle Paul to do that. And what he's saying is there's some of y'all that are trying to be temples of idols, you're still trying to be worldly and have all that worldly stuff in you, and yet claim to be the temple of the living God. And what he's saying is, if God lives in you, it's going to come out. It's going to show. Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. James said, salt, water, and fresh don't come out of the same fountain. So blessings and cursings can't come out of the same fountain. I'm just asking you to check up so you can see why. A lot of people, I just don't understand why I'm going through this. I'm having such a hard time. Well, are you living in obedience or disobedience?
Amen. Come on now. Yep. Yep.
Christ always exposes the devil. I don't have to read the book of Quran. I know there's one word of God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I know that. So I don't have to read the Quran to know it's wrong. Christ in me exposes that.
Amen.
See? I don't have to watch a certain TV program or listen to certain music, see if it's right or wrong. I already know because the Holy Ghost lives in me and the light of Christ is in me, so it automatically exposes that. I don't have to check it out and delve into it. You understand what I'm saying? One of the dumbest statements I ever heard by a professing Christian father. Well, preacher, you got to let your kids try out things. You got to let them experiment. You got to let them experience some things in the world so they can see. No, you don't.
Amen.
Have you ever let them try strychnine? You know, I know it's going to kill you. You ain't getting it. Amen. The dumbest thing I ever heard a so-called Christian kid say, well, mama, all my friends are doing it. Yeah, we remember those friends, don't we? You old people, do you remember that the coolest guy in class? He was cool, man. You looked up to him, he was the cool dude, buddy. He was the life of the party. Woo! He was somebody. Everybody, the girls loved him. And now you look at him walking down the street, he's a babbling idiot. You thought it was cool because you didn't have enough sense to know cool between cool and crazy. And it turned out he was crazy. Come on, help me. Y'all remember him, don't you? He tried everything. Let me tell you something. Christ exposes it. I don't have to try it to know that it ain't right. I can look at it and judge it by the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost living in me sends off red lights. You know. Hey, so if I'm going to be blessed, I need to be obedient, because if I'm not, and then I get out of the light, then in the end, the wages of sin is still death. Well, Pastor, you know I'm a Christian. There ain't nothing wrong with taking a little drink. You know, everybody does that. About 50% of America drinks socially. Well, preacher, you know, even some churches do it now. You know, we got one uptown up here, and they have a beer Bible study. Yeah, that pastor's living in the dark. He's dark. He's lost. The light of Christ does not live in him. You say, preacher, you can't judge him. I don't have to. The Word of God's already done it. He's living in the dark because he's in the dark. He does not have the light in him. If he did, he wouldn't teach such stupid things as that. It's not true. Hey, light should rebuke that. We have people in churches all over this country today struggling in whether or not to stay in their church because they've gotten a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or leadership that's living in the dark, and they've never been born again, so they care nothing about obeying the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't know Him. So therefore, whatever it takes to have a crowd and have a party and have a gathering, they're going to do it. But I've got news for you. You get one Christian walking that crowd and it'll rebuke every one of them. Amen. Don't have to say much. Look at he said, verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Did you know that the temple of the living God exposes those fake temples? You go back and you read the Old Testament, and Solomon's temple was, from everything I've ever read in the Bible and other history, it was the most beautiful thing ever built by man in the world. People came from all over the world to see Solomon's temple that he built for God. It was wonderful. And listen, they spared no expense. They spared no expense. And it took David a lifetime just gathering the stuff to build it with, and then God let Solomon build it. And then go read where they dedicated it to God, and the presence of God came down in that temple in that smoke, and the presence got so strong even the priest and everybody had to get out of the building. Now that was the temple of God. It would be the same thing right here. There was no comparison between the temple of God and the temple of Baal, a big old stone henge stacked up over there somewhere where they were sacrificing babies and burning them and everything else at the altar of Belial, the devil, the god Baal. There was no comparison between that and that old fish head god they had. And look, when the temple of God was built and possessed by the presence of God, that rebuked all other temples. And when we as Christians obey God and obey the Holy Spirit by reading the Word, studying the Word, being obedient to the Word, repenting when we ought to, asking forgiveness when we ought to, walking in the light as He's in the light, He says it right here, ye are the temple of God. Boy, I got saved. I went back down there to the cotton mill and I didn't know what all happened to me. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't even know a hymn. I just knew I'd got saved. I wasn't going to hell anymore. I was so happy about it. But I wasn't saying very much about it. I was so shy. And listen, people would come up to me and they'd say, "What has happened to you? There's something different about you. You remember when Christians were different?"
Amen.
I remember when I was lost, I'd get around real Christians and I talk real tough, Brother Billy, but it made me nervous to be around a real Christian. I was scared of them. And I hung around some tough people, buddy. But we didn't mess with a Christian. We're scared of them. And let me tell you something else. We associated the church with that Christianity. They didn't even lock the doors. We was a bunch of rogues, man. We'd run all over town. If it wasn't nailed down, we'd pick it up. But we never, not one time, went inside of a church and did anything because we were afraid of God and we said we didn't believe in Him. But there was something about the church house and those people that went down there that put a fear in us. Say amen. I feel sorry for you young people. You don't know that about church. There's very few churches like that anymore. I mean, the deadest church in town, we was afraid of it. We was afraid of those people that went there. If somebody came to work and said there was a Christian, we avoided them. I didn't know what to say to them. Amen. Why? Because God lived in those people. And as they obeyed God, He manifested Himself more and more through their life. And we could see it. Now, we never would admit it. We wouldn't admit that. We'd say, that preacher's got them brainwashed. We say, Baptists. Them Baptists can't do nothing. They can't have no fun. They can't dance. They can't drink. They can't smoke dope. They can't do anything. They just don't have no. I've had more fun since I've been saved than I ever thought about having before I got saved. I got all kind of regrets from before I got saved. I don't have any about being saved. Amen. And God moved in me that day, moved deep down in my soul. He's living in there, right there. And when I obey Him, He blesses me. And when He blesses me, like it or not, the people that worship the wrong things and idols and their self and their gold and their jobs and their, all these things, those people notice it when God's people are blessed.
Amen.
And they're scared to death of you. Scared of you. The frailest little woman in here, the frailest little girl, if God's in you and you're being obedient to God through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and living right, people around you are scared to death of you. They're afraid if they mess with you, God's going to kill them. Amen. The problem ain't with the world. The problem's with the church, and people either don't realize what they have or they're not walking in what they have. God will bless you. God will take care of you. David said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Amen? Now, the temple of God exposes fake gods. Like it or not, in this world, in this life, in this country, eventually, you're going to have to stand up for who you believe in. You're going to have to. We got to. I was watching convention the other night. They had a Hindu Sikh pray. That prayer didn't get no farther than that ceiling, than that microphone would carry. Another night they had a Muslim on there. And listen, I don't know if we ought to boo people or not, but there's some people that booed him while he was trying to pray. But I got news for you. That prayer didn't get any farther than the microphone would carry. There's one God, and there's one Savior, and there's one Spirit, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism. They're not multiple. And you say, preacher, that makes me mad. That's because you're in the dark.
Yes. Amen. Yeah, come on.
I want you to notice this. He says, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, you know what the unclean thing is? The unclean is anything that He says is not good for you. Young people, look at me. You think we old people are trying to rob you of some secret pleasure that we had when we were young because we tell you not to do it. That's what you think. You think they just don't want me to have fun. By the way, you won't find that word fun in the Bible. And as you get older, if you get wiser and if you live, you'll find out that fun ain't all it's cut out to be. There's a payment for everything you do, buddy. Go ahead. You call it fun if you want to, but later on when you're on the breathing apparatus, or they shoot needles up in your arms to keep you alive another day, You look back on your fund and find out that the wages of sin is still death. We wasn't trying to rob you of something. We were trying to help you. I had a friend that was stabbed 7 times and shot once. And he lived. You know what he died of at about 40 years old? Cirrhosis of the liver. And he never drank. Pills. Pills destroyed his liver. And I've been in the hospital many times. And met men whose body was ruined from alcohol and all those years of drinking. They used to call it consumption because it consumes your body. And I see it every day. And you young people think that the preacher don't like me and he's trying to rob me of some pleasure. There is joy in sin for a season, but it don't last long. And payday's coming. And you can't walk in the Spirit and live that way. And you can't have the blessings of God and live that way. You got a mom and dad tells you not to drink liquor, you'll thank God. You'll praise God. About half the country drinks liquor. You got a mom and dad tells you not to smoke dope, and they did. You'll thank God that God let them live long enough to tell you not to smoke dope. Many did. Hey, you got a mom and dad tells you homosexuality is a sin, you ought not do it. You'll thank God they wasn't homosexual, you wouldn't be here. By the way, it's the only minority that don't reproduce. Think on that a while. Amen? Let me tell you something. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Now listen to this. Separation, being separate from the things of the world, and other gods, separation, is in order not to get God to save us. If you're saved, you're saved. It's in order to get the best blessings from God. We look at that prodigal son the wrong way. That prodigal son went to his daddy and said, "Daddy, I know when you die, I get half everything you got because I've got one brother, he gets the other half. But I don't want to wait, I want it right now. I can't wait." So his daddy says, he didn't argue with him. He said, "Okay, son, here it is, go." And he left and he spent it, the Bible says, in riotous living. That means out of control. Or the world would say, free. Yeah, having fun. Thank you, Billy. Amen. Having fun. He was having a good time. But the money run out, and he woke up in the pig pen. And he woke up with no friends. And by the way, when your stuff runs out, and those kind of friends will leave you too. Amen. Preach it right there, preacher. And he woke up eating pig food. Eating with the hogs. That's how he woke up. So then the thought came to him, the Bible says he came to himself. And one day when you got saved, you came to yourself. Amen. Amen. And he said, my father's hired servants have it better than this. He pays people to feed the hogs. He pays people to shuck the corn that I've been eating the husk of. Listen, my father's better than this. I'll just go down there and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry. I've wasted my money. Can I just be a servant at your house, and I have a place to sleep, clothes to wear, and food to eat?" And he, boy, had this thing planned out what he was going to do. But he didn't know every day his dad's walking out to the end of the driveway looking for him. Every day. And the Bible says when he came around the dirt road there and was coming down the road, his father ran to him and hugged him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. But what about the son that wasn't a prodigal son? He's still at home doing his job. He was still at home honoring his father. He was still at home reaping all the benefits from that rich household. Not his. They were his father's. And that prodigal had went out into the world and experimented or tried something, you know. And he lost all he had and he came back. You know what he realized? That the The son that was obedient never lost a thing. He never had a sleepless night. He never got sick from drinking too much. He never lost all his friends. Hey, he never woke up in the filth and the mire of the pig pen. He was over there being obedient, living like a king the whole time. And obedience, we as Christians, when we obey, we're living like the good son, not the bad one. Now, I understand. The bad one's really not a good example. The example was that we have a father that's merciful and long-suffering and good and loving. No matter what you do, he'll receive you back. But what about those wasted years? He wasted. The Bible says it. He wasted those years in riotous living, and now he can never make it up. How many Christians have I went to the hospital and they were on their last days there in the hospital? Multiple. I'm the guy that they call when nobody else will go. I'm the guy that they call when the poor people's in the hospital or the funeral home or having trouble. I'm the guy that they call when somebody's hooked on dope or drunk or something like that. You know, I'm the one people's always call for that. And how many have I went to see that they look me in the eye and they say, "Preacher, I wish I could go back. I wish I could go back. I know where it all started, and that day would be different." You see, they'll admit in their last day that God has not blessed them like he's blessed other people. Now, that doesn't make God unholy, doesn't make him unjust, doesn't make him impure, doesn't make him unrighteous. As a matter of fact, it makes him more so because he doesn't bless sin. Amen. And he doesn't bless disobedience. But on the other hand, he does bless obedience, he does bless righteousness, he does bless holiness, and no matter what the current movement in the current churches say, it's still the Bible. Unclean always tarnishes clean. You ever had something on you just couldn't wash it off? I mean, just wash all you want to, it won't come off. Now, you may be holy, you may be pure, but when we get disobedient, it tarnishes that. And it takes a lot of cleaning up sometimes to get back where we used to be. Amen? Now, some of you may have done it in a rehab. Some of you may have done it at a daddy's paddle. Some of you may have done it with a mother's silence. But sooner or later, old Bob Dylan, I wouldn't use him as an example of a good Christian, but he did make a profession of faith one time, and he quit singing all those old songs. He wrote what he thought was Christian songs. They never really were. And, of course, he's worldly now. But he says, everybody is going to have to pay the reaper. One day, doesn't matter if you're the banker or you're the baker, hey, you're going to serve somebody, he said. And there's only two. He said, you're either going to serve the devil or you're going to serve the Lord. You say, "Preacher, I'm serving myself." That's what the devil wants you to do, so therefore you're serving the devil. And you might be saved in serving the devil. I've seen Christians do that. And they hurt more than they help on their way to heaven. But yet they're living a disobedient life, and that's serving the devil. The devil's getting, because here's what the world does, Brother Roy. The world says, "Sit there, I told you, ain't nothing that Christianity. Couldn't keep him off dope. Couldn't keep her off liquor. Couldn't keep them straight. What good's Christianity? My religion's just as good as theirs." And what it is, that light has allowed the darkness to overtake us. And we've all been guilty of it at one time or another. We allow the darkness to overtake our light. So this morning I want to ask you, have you come out from among them and been separate? If you have, I'll just tell you this, as Jeffrey comes to the pen, I'll tell you this. You're going to lose some friends. You're probably going to lose some pleasure. You may even lose some positions, but you'll get the blessings of God that'll make up for it more than you ever thought. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. I don't have a problem with people failing the Lord. I believe we all sin and come short of glory. We all fall down. But the Bible says a good man falls, but he gets back up. If you're living in darkness today, it's not because God can't bring you out. It's because you don't want to come out. He said, call upon me and I will answer thee. Now, if you're not saved today, you can judge us Christians and say, that one's a hypocrite, and that one's a hypocrite, that one's a hypocrite. But see, you can't see our heart. All you see is one tiny part of our life at one time where maybe we were failures. Maybe we were walking in the darkness when we should have been walking in the light. That's all you see. You don't. Hey, what you need to do is look at the whole picture.
Amen.
And really wait to the end. And we'll see. But as far as you are, if you're not saved, you have no hope. You're without Christ in this present world and the world to come. And listen, you can't walk in the light until you receive the light, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is the light in you? Preacher, I read the Bible. Don't make any sense. That's because you don't know the author. The light's not in you. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man understands not things of the Spirit, for they're spiritually discerned. You get the light in you, and it'll shed a lot of light on this book right here. Well, I don't understand you Christians. Y'all do this, y'all do that. You're not going to understand us. We're from two different families. But you get saved. And you see what you want. You want us to explain all this stuff, and we can't do it. But once you receive Jesus Christ, you're born again, nobody has to explain it. All of a sudden, you know it. Wow, I know it. I see it for the first time in my life. And then for you Christians, listen, we've all failed. We've all fallen. We all get up. But let me ask you something. When you get up, what direction are you walking in? You getting back in the light? Or are you going to be like the prodigal son, live down there in the pig pen the rest of your life? Get up, come back to the Father. And then for those of us who are walking in the light, what are we doing with our light? Jesus said it's no good if you hide it under a bush.
Amen.
Take that basket off of you and walk out there in that world and be like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Quit being ashamed of the Savior. Throw your shoulders back.
Amen.
And listen, be a child of God. Live like it and don't worry about what people think.
Right.
Let's stand. Father, you know our hearts.